It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this, this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is reporter Sarah Burris. There's lots of headlines, lots to cover, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. And I do a show every Tuesday called What's Up, where I talk about lots and lots of personal things. Just check out patreon.com/startmeup. See the different tiers. Join today. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Burris. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Another crazy day in fascist America. Yay, we get to talk about it. So actually, you know, what have you been writing? What have you been writing about during these crazy days? I think the last time you were here was in January. So what have you been up to? What are you writing about?
Oh my gosh, there's been so much. Like a lot of the last couple of months has been Epstein files related. Mm-hmm. And then just sort of the general crazy that I feel like the president spouts on a daily basis. Yeah. And like I wrote this piece talking about some of the things that Miles Taylor wrote about in one of his recent columns that kind of probes the idea of how Trump has changed so dramatically mm-hmm. in, you know, not just like the last 10 years, but in the last 5 years since he was working
right.
with Trump, and how he, as someone who, you know, dealt with him on almost a daily basis, has seen him sort of progress into just a completely different person. Like he's gone mm-hmm. from sort of the non sequitur to just nonsensical.
Right.
And and I mean the conversation around that has been primarily on the internet, right? And it seems like the media and like the mainstream media, right? Like mm-hmm. the Jake Tappers of the world. are not asking the questions that I feel like we were asking in the era of Joe Biden, right?
Well, he's busy doing his follow-up book on how sleepy Joe Biden was.
Right? And it's so frustrating because I feel like that was such a huge conversation. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, he got kicked out of the presidency for, you know, running for president again because of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I it's neither here nor there about the Biden thing, but mm-hmm. it's ironic, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Hypocritical.
Definitely hypocritical, but I think it asks very real questions now that we're in this situation, seeing someone who we felt like was maybe a little bit, you know, off the first time around, right?
Just a little.
Just a little bit different. So that's been like a big thing. Mm. The war has obviously been mm-hmm. Something, but, and I think the whole conversation around the funding of the war and the mm-hmm. affordability crisis and, you know, remembering the old days of how the run up to Iraq.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was very young. It was when I really first started to pay attention to politics, was in that era.
Yeah.
And, you know, like went to my first protests and got really involved with the, oddly enough, the ecumenical Christian missionary building in at my college and talking about the peace and the like radical peace and mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And that sort of movement. So and learning about pacifism and humanism and all of these hippie ideas. Mm-hmm. So it kind of coming full circle to that in my life.
Interesting.
Has been very interesting. And so I also have like my little cousin who is just starting college. And so I'm kind of seeing that now through her eyes, you know, that sort of coming into what news and policy and politics is in the world.
It's and like her experience is very different than yours because your experience we had a media that could be trusted and we kind of don't anymore, as you just kind of pointed out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, just looking through the lens of social media, right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is a very different experience than, you know, when we still had amazing trusted anchors on mm-hmm. on the network newscasts, and now we're questioning whether we can even trust the station of Edward R. Murrow and Trump.
Right, exactly. And like,
so,
wow.
So yeah, that's what I've been. What I've been focusing on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot. I think obviously that's your job. And I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to be immersed in this stuff. And it's not like we're back in the day when we had guardrails, when we had dependable journalists. But, you know, what's interesting, and I just saw it's Seth MacFarlane. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. He just moved over to Midas Touch. And so what I'm seeing here is
Scott MacFarlane.
Thank you. I knew it was the wrong name. Anyway, he left CBS. He joined, didn't he? Well, he was with CBS, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was with CBS. Before that, I mean, he was with the Washington CBS affiliate, and so he was already doing some incredible work on January 6th. And I mean, of all of the people who. Anybody should go back and look at the coverage of January 6th. That dude is just a rock star. I mean, I have so much admiration for him.
Wow. Well, yeah. And so now he's with Midas Touch. And I think what's happening, and I know what's happening, we're seeing it. Independent media is now starting. I mean, it all went nuts after the 2024 election. I mean, we had a little bit before that when Elon Musk took over X and then X went to hell. So we all experienced that. Then everybody ran to Blue Sky, and then everybody became a Substack author. It was like, oh my God, everyone in the world had a Substack. And the reason why is because we all saw, I have not watched cable news since election night 2024. I think it was on once or twice in my home because my boyfriend wanted to watch something for some reason. But I mean, it's still on our cable, but you know, we're paying for it, but I won't watch it. I just won't watch it. And obviously there are journalists that I trust. I trust Rachel Maddow. I trust Lawrence O'Donnell. I trust a bunch of them. But I don't trust the CEOs. I don't trust the people who are running because they're oligarchs and they don't give a shit. They just, all they care about is their own bottom line and that's it. So, and the way that I see it is that Lawrence O'Donnell tells the truth, but Lawrence O'Donnell is more than like, and I hope he stays where he is. I hope he doesn't have to leave or feel like he has to leave because he, you know, he and people like Rachel Maddow keep it all, I think, what's the word, like somewhat trustworthy, like we know we can trust them. But my whole thing is, you know, they're not telling Lawrence that he can't, well, I think maybe what they do is like, don't report on this. So here are all the things you can report on. And I'm guessing, this is my guess, I have no proof, I'm just guessing. But it's just that I think there are certain things they aren't allowed to talk about or are, I don't know. I just don't trust what I see on mainstream media. And that doesn't mean I fully trust all of independent media, but that's what's happening right now because it's like the Wild Wild West is starting to form up now. Like it's been the Wild West. Everybody was on Substack. Everybody's all over the place. And there's no one center where we all like go, okay, this is going to be where we get our news. It's just kind of splintered. And I think as time goes on, we're going to be building a new press. And that's what's happening now. That's what happened. You know, I don't know where Midas Touch comes into it, but I, you know, like with Allison Gill, she's got MSW Media. She's paired up with them. Katie Fang has paired up with them. So I just see it going in that way. And I mean, I don't, obviously none of us know where it's going to go, but I mean, I'm hopeful that it goes into a direction. It's not like the MAGA people, or I don't know what they'll be called when they're no longer run by Trump, but whatever their movement is, I don't know who they're going to, I don't think they're going to follow Midas Touch, but you know, I don't think we're ever going to necessarily have a one, like have one kind of a news program that everybody can say, yeah, we all trust. I think that's gone. And with the internet, it's just different than the days when we had three major stations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, just the degradation of the local news.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Being bought up by Sinclair and all that.
Yes. I mean, there's the Sinclair aspect, but there's also, I mean, just local newspapers that have been.
Oh, right. Eaten.
I mean, because these are the people who are going to school board meetings and local council meetings. And a lot of the things that happen in those local meetings are test grounds for what the right wing wants to do federally. And so a lot of the stuff that you see at the locals, you can be like, all right, this is going to happen in the next, you know, year at the federal level. This is going to be the new issue that they try and push, right? They did it with DEI in the schools. They did it with, oh, we've got to stop teaching about slavery because it's not nice and we're too big of snowflakes to hear criticism about, you know, people 200 years ago. right? Like, so, I mean, it kills me because a lot of those locals are just doing amazing work. And it's kind of like, it's the difference between like the beat cop and the chief, right?
Yeah.
and so I don't know. I just, it's disappointing. I think it's another reason why people are really tuning out on TV whenever it comes to news, and why the rise of Substack and personality journalism has become the norm.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, I know this person, right? Like I've read this person for a long time. I know I can trust this person. And so it's like a rejection of the corporatization.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I hate, like, it really pissed me off when I would hear people like Susan Sarandon say we have to burn it all down, because I don't think we had to burn it all down, but evidently we did. Right. So since we did, now we have to rebuild. And there were a lot of problems. You know, it was great for a certain number of people in this country prior to Donald Trump coming in. And obviously it was great for a great many people. I mean, you look at Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, for people don't know the difference. But you look at that and you look at all these different programs, you know, even Joe Biden brought in. And it's just, I don't know. I'm going ahead of myself, but I mean, going back before Trump, yes. And even during Biden, sorry, my brain is just going nuts.
You're fine.
But there was still a lot that was fucked up with this country. You know, it was the Citizens United. And, you know, I started getting into this in 2012 was, I had written this open letter to Rush Limbaugh from a liberal slut. And that was kind of what marked my entrance into this.
And, oh, bless, yeah.
And back then it was the war on women, and we were all, you know, talking about what the right wing was going to do and eroding our rights. And then it's just gotten worse. You know, it's just gotten worse since then, instead of getting better. And so I don't like that everything has fallen apart and is continuing to fall apart, but I'm going to try. I always try to take, okay, since this is our reality, let's, instead of just focusing on everything is shit and we're toast, which I refuse to accept, I want to focus on, all right, so since it's all been burned down, now we rebuild. And now we rebuild in a way that is kinder and gentler to the majority of people. So basically a matriarchy, which we're going to get into in a minute, but talk about matriarchies. But yeah, I mean, I see the opportunity for, you know, all kinds of change. We've experienced it before as a nation. We experienced it after the Great Depression. And, you know, we saw what happened when Obama took over, even when Biden took over after Trump, but when Obama took over after George Bush, look what he did. You know, he was able to save the economy. He gave us affordable health care. And obviously, we're going to be in worse shape now than we were back in 2008 when Obama first got in. So whatever's going to happen in 2028, they're going to have a big, big job on their hands, providing we win. Meaning not even so much Democrats, but just democracy.
Yeah, the country in general.
Right. Okay, like I want to switch this over, because the last time we talked, it was in January, and the last No Kings March was in October. Now, and that march, I don't have all the exact numbers in front of me, but I do know that in the October march, I think we had around 7 million people show up, which was an improvement from maybe 2 or 3 million from the first march. I don't remember when the first march was, maybe March of 2025, something like that. Anyway, there was 7 million people. I think there were 2,700 events all over the country. And this time around, we've got like 3,000 No Kings events. Just everybody who doesn't know, go to indivisible.org, and there's all the information you need, where every local protest, bigger protest, you can find all the information. But yeah, the thing about this one is, Rachel Maddow did this piece the other day, and she covered all the different things that have happened since the last March in October. And I'm only going to name just a few, because her segment went on for quite a long time. But it was the Minnesota ICE shootings, bringing ICE into Minnesota, the two white people who were murdered. There's so much more, so please forgive me that I'm not covering all of it. But the bombing of Iran, this was before he seized ballots in Atlanta, before he blew up health insurance, before he posted a video of the Obamas as if they were apes. So, I mean, there was all these things that he's done since October that are just jaw-dropping horrendous. And it's affecting people. It's, you know, some of it is, when you look at what they did with Obama, that's not necessarily going to affect your dinner table. But it is going to affect a lot of people out there who are paying attention and going, wait, I mean, even Republicans were like, take that shit down, because it's so fucking racist. And I don't know. There's the hope. I don't remember what the number is. It's just over 11. Is it 11.4? I don't know. 11.4 million, something like that. If we see that many people marching, there is a good chance we're going to reach that 3.5% threshold, which history tells us if 3.5% of the population comes out in protest to the government, if specifically if it's fascist, it's not going to, well, any government, it's not going to be able to take hold. It's not a rule. It's just what history has shown us. And, you know, I look at this like the whole idea of the boiling frog. They're not letting, it's not that slow boil. They just turned on the fire as hot as it could be, and threw the frog in. And it started to boil immediately. And so everybody's like, what the fuck? The water is boiling. As opposed to letting the, you know, go slow. If they would have taken their fascism slowly, they might have been successful. But they haven't. So what are you... I mean, I'm seeing a lot just everywhere. Are you seeing a lot of excitement for these rallies? Are you going to be, I'm going to be going to a local one. Are you going? And what are your thoughts on this?
So, I mean, I'm not allowed to do protests.
What I have done, because you're a reporter.
Right. What I have done in the past is there is nothing I love more in the world than protest signs. and so just, I mean, having... being able to have images for our content has been really helpful in the past. And so like I can go with a press pass and just start going crazy, taking photos.
Yeah.
Which I just love. I mean, I'm sort of that it's kind of like that news voyeur in me, mm-hmm. where you want to see history unfold. You want, mm-hmm. to document history as it unfolds. And so I mean, that has been the one thing that I've enjoy doing. And I sort of like, I stand back a little bit. I'm not like embedded in a crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, not on a, in a press thing. Like usually I'm standing on a balcony, you know, or I'm standing on top of usually a concrete planter box, kind of overlooking and watching little micro actions in the crowd. Like this, mm-hmm. person who seems to be getting emotional over this person who's talking, you know, like, I'm wondering about what is happening in this moment? What is happening in the mind of these people? What in their experience has brought them here? And those are the stories that I feel like we don't usually tell, because they're not, I mean, everybody has their own unique story. And I think a lot of folks are just like, oh, look, it's another angry feminist. But I don't know. There's just a part of me that really values what has changed people or motivated people, you know, over the last year in particular. So anytime, yeah. I can find, especially if I can find somebody who's, this is their first protest.
Right.
Anytime I can find a Republican, right?
Right. That's awesome. Yeah.
Or a Trump voter, and which is, it's rare. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting. Like, I'm starting to hear more stories about Trump voters who are willing to come out and participate in events. I think what a lot of them have talked about is how afraid they are. But a lot of people really do want to sort of leave the cult, as it were. But they're so afraid that they're going to be made fun of, that, yeah. they're going to be treated badly by the left. They're not going to be welcomed into any kind of movement. Which, I mean, I get it, because it's like, you voted against me. Mm-hmm. Like, you did something that hurt my family. Mm-hmm. That's really hard for a lot of people to get over, and to make amends with. And that is the kind of emotional conversation I feel like we're going to have as a country.
Yeah, I've talked about this before, where I feel like, I think that it's not that we have to automatically become their best friends, but okay, mm-hmm. it's like, we've got our own personal beef. Yes, you hurt me. Yes, you hurt my family. Yes, this feels personal. But we can't go back and we can't change it. We can't undo their vote. We can't convince them back in history. What we've got is the present and what comes up in the future. What's going to come up in the future are elections. And what I want is, I don't have to be this person's best friend. I don't have to agree with them on every single issue. What I want is that they don't vote for fascists anymore.
Right.
You know, and so I understand this feeling of, you have hurt me and you need to pay. But think about the future, because we're going to knock them into another cult. I had Knitting Cult Lady on my show a couple of weeks ago, who was raised in a cult. And she was talking about, first of all, a lot of these people are just going to find new cults, right? So when Trump dies, they're going to find another group of people with conspiracy theories and fit in and get community. But I, you know, a lot of these people, like you're talking about, they want to leave and they're afraid. And I understand why they're afraid. But I think it's really important for us to, and I want to emphasize here, it's not like you have to be their best friend. You don't have to invite them over for dinner. Just let them unfold, because when you're coming out of a cult, you don't come out of a cult in 3 days. Oftentimes, it's because you've been raised in an environment from childhood that teaches you to see the world a certain way. And it's really, really difficult for people who have, you know, for decades been cementing beliefs, whether they're true or not. They cement a belief by repeating it and repeating it and thinking it over and over and over and over. And then they, you know, they go to their friends and they see what they believe is proof that this is true. And it cements even further. And then one day something happens and they see, oh, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought it was. And it's the unraveling. And the unraveling takes time. And if all they're met with is mockery and anger, they're never going to get there. And I don't fucking care about what happened before, because I can't change it. The thing I care about is what I can do. So sorry I got on my soapbox about this, but I feel very passionate.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there are parts of us that, you know, want to continue to feed the anger. You know, right. Who it's like we've become, in some ways, we get addicted to this rage. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
And so, you know, finding peace with the other is going to be difficult. But at the same time, like, I think there's a very big difference between finding peace with your neighbor versus, you know, the people who have been responsible for this, who, you know, should be at a tribunal.
Right.
Right. And I think being able to see the two differently is very important. Because I swear to God, if we elect another Democrat who's like, I just want to move forward,
I know,
I don't want to look back, then I'm going to scream.
Yeah, we're all going to scream.
So, but again, like, I especially like looking back at what Ford did in pardoning Nixon, you just have to wonder, does Trump just automatically assume that he's going to get saved?
Yeah.
By if he can elect another Republican after him, like,
yeah. So, but I mean, the thing is like, I mean, is he really even going to be around in 2028? I seriously doubt it. I really don't. I mean, he could be. Of course, he could be. None of us here know exactly when his expiration date is. But look at the guy; he is falling apart every day. It's like you were saying, in the last 5 years, he has deteriorated. Not only we could see the mental deterioration, but the physical deterioration, it's just fully evident. And there was somebody, I don't know, some doctor, somebody, or whoever it was, talking about the atrophy in his brain. And it was just kind of going over why, you know, what the signs are of the atrophy and what we're seeing right now outside of him not making any sense. But what he does, he comes up with this bullshit conspiracy idea or whatever. It doesn't even have to be conspiracy. It's just some bullshit idea that's not real. He latches onto it and then he thinks it's real. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, I mean, that's a sign of that temporal, whatever it's called, dementia that he's got. But his brain is atrophying. It's like drying up. So, yeah, I don't know that he's going to make it to 2028, but frankly, I don't expect him to go to jail. I think that the most likely, what will likely happen is he'll probably die in office, and that'll be that. And then we'll just be left to pick up the pieces. You know, I like to remind people of this. I had this dream. I don't remember if I told you this, but I had a dream in 2015, or maybe it was 2014, but it was before he came down the escalator. It was before Donald Trump was in our lives like this. And the dream that I had was there was this massive elephant head in my living room. And I had like a vaulted ceiling. So the elephant head went from floor to ceiling. It was just the head of the elephant. And it was gasping for breath, and then it died. And I was like really upset, because I thought, how am I going to get this elephant head out of my house? And I was thinking, well, I'm going to have to cut it up in little pieces, or I'm going to have to remove the roof and we have to airlift it out. How's that going to happen? And ultimately what I came up with was I got to cut it up, and it's going to be bloody and it's going to be disgusting and it's going to take a long time. So when I had this dream, like I said, I didn't know about Trump yet. And I don't usually have prophetic dreams or anything like that. But I can't help but think it was a prophetic dream saying the GOP head died in our living room. And now we've got this big mess and we got to clean it up. And I think the living room just represents the country. And so I think he's going to die at some point. And I think we're going to, you know, we're already cleaning up the mess because the GOP died. But the head of the GOP is going to die, I think, at some point. So, and we're going to have to do that. And it's going to be really difficult because, like, for all the reasons that you just said, we're going to have all these people who have been involved in this cult. Now, none of them like J.D. Vance. A lot of mm-hmm. them like fascism, but they don't like J.D. Vance. And they don't like, there's already a split in the party. We're seeing splits. I mean, they're still pretty much a cohesive party, but we're definitely seeing strong splinter. We're seeing Candace Owens going nuts over, you know, mm-hmm. factions of the GOP, Nick Fuentes, all of these different people are, and they're big names, and they're not happy with what's going on. And that's not going to bode well for Trump or whoever follows him. But I just don't think that he's going to be there. I hope not. I mean, I can't, obviously I'm just guessing, but, and I've never, you know, I'm not really one to have prophetic dreams. I've had a few, but not enough to say, oh, well, I have so many prophetic dreams that I'm a psychic and I can just tell you, you know, I don't know. I don't know where things are going, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we can't have another, like you just said, we cannot have another Democrat that's just going to say, oh, let's just move on, or we're fucking toast. I think we're toast as this country. Mm-hmm. This country is toast if we do that.
No, I think you're right. And I think, too, like one of the major things that we've learned is that our democracy has not been inoculated against any kind of
right
of leadership with Trump. Like when I look at how the Republicans in the 4 years since Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, they formulated, Project 2025. And I have no idea why the Democrats are not doing, why there's not some huge think tank right now mm-hmm. where every legal nerd in the country isn't like, all right, so here are the laws that need to be put in place to stop this from ever happening again.
Yeah.
Here are the regulations that we need to do. Here are the ethics rules that we need to pass. This can't just be done by executive order
right.
when some new president comes in. It has to be passed into law. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of it is going to mean we got to figure out how we can get a constitutional amendment to get rid of things like Citizens United.
Do you know of the, God, I'm not going to say the interstate, fuck, what's it called? Something interstate having to do with the electoral count versus, do you know what I'm talking about? The interstate legislation?
No.
Okay. I can't remember the full name and it's a stupid name, but there is this legislation that has been passed in enough, I want to say countries. Obviously, it's not countries. States. Enough states that we only need the, it's like four, I think there are 41 electoral votes needed. So Interstate Compact Act or something like that. And so what that would do is we only need enough states of, you know, that would equal 41 electoral votes. I think right now, Virginia's looking at it. I think the Virginia legislator voted for it, and it's going to go to the desk of the governor, and I assume she would sign it. But what this would do is we wouldn't need an amendment to, and you just, did you say Citizens United? This is about the Electoral College, but so it's different, but still it's in the same vein, because it would just mean that all, and to, I don't know how to explain it well, other than you can look it up, but it would mean that the, electoral votes would go automatically to the candidate who got the most votes. So it would automatically go
right.
to, the popular vote. So it's a long right. way to say that. So anyway, that's happening. And my boyfriend has been talking about it, Bob Seska. And he's like, I don't want to make this a big deal because I don't want Republicans getting wind of this and fucking it all up. So right. Anyway, there is that. But, you know, yes, I think you're right. Going back to what you were saying, I interrupted you, but going back and yeah, I mean, we're going to need to get rid of Citizens United for sure. For sure, we need to get rid of that.
But the kind of ethics rules that we're going to have to pass. I mean, we're going to have to deal with the Supreme Court. There's absolutely no accountability for the Supreme Court. I
So
mean,
much.
it's so frustrating. And I think a lot of people want to go the simple route where it's like, all right, well, we're just going to expand the court, you know? And I mean, that's a conversation to have, but I think more than that, having some sort of oversight body, you know, maybe it's 50% of the federal judiciary is appointed to some, you know, oversight body that rules on ethics over the Supreme Court, or, you know, maybe that is the oversight body that, you know, if you have a plurality of federal judges say, nah, that's not a cool ruling to the Supreme Court, then, you know, that seems to me like something that is more rational than giving the amount of power that we've given to the Supreme Court. And so, I mean, issues like that, we need to figure out like what that stuff's going to look like. And it's got to be people who are very clearly smarter than me who are doing it. And I would say too, like we're assuming that we're about to take the House and maybe even the Senate back in 26. There should also be a plan for what happens in 26. You know, like the Congress can appoint a special prosecutor. That we learned that because they got rid of Jack Smith because he was not appointed by Congress. So I think that's a great opportunity for Congress to be like, great, we're going to appoint a special prosecutor to go back to the document scandal and figure out what was really going on and if you sold things to, you know, the Saudis. So, you know, so I don't, I think everybody's just trying to win races right now and register voters and try and fight the fight that's happening each and every day. Like it's just like every day is a short-term battle that has to be won, and there's no one really looking at, you know, like a
Yeah,
year
long
down the
term,
road because it's just too much. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, every day there's something new.
it is a fire hose of information and battles in court. I mean, bless him, Marc Elias is fighting every single, you know, ballot measure that they're trying to put up to restrict voting or mail-in ballots or whatever Trump is trying to do. And I mean, obviously Democrats are saying they're willing to shut down DHS for to ensure that the SAVE Act doesn't pass. And so,
Fun,
yeah.
fun, fun. Okay, you know what? I want to switch this over because I know we've got only so much time. So I do want to first, I want to ask you a question. I have been since 2012, you know, I told you, I was the slut back in 2012, and I saw, all of the talking points and arguments and issues involving women's rights and whatnot. You know, we were talking about rape, we were talking about all the same stuff. However, there has been a change in what I'm seeing in a positive way. Not change in what has necessarily passed legislatively or anything like that. Change in the way people are discussing it. So first, I just want to bring up, I have been seeing the call for matriarchy now a lot. I see it everywhere. Where back then I never saw it, and I wasn't hearing the word patriarchy. I understood what patriarchy was to a degree, but it wasn't something I spent all of my time thinking about. So, over these past few, several years in my big mouth, whatever you want to call it, online activism, I've become aware of patriarchy and how it's affected me and all of it. But I'm seeing now that men, thankfully, not all, but are understanding it, right? They're not arguing anymore. They're not getting, some are, but they're not getting super defensive. They're not freaking out every time you bring up feminism. They're just agreeing. And I just want to kind of bring this up, and then we can get a little more into it. But matriarchy, people, I keep saying this over and over again, and the reason why is because people think that matriarchy is just something run by women, and that's not what it is. It's more the idea of feminine energy, which has nothing to do with women. There's feminine energy and masculine energy. Masculine energy is about action. Feminine energy is about taking care of things, intuition, creativity, and basically protection. And so matriarchy would be like a circle, right? So you've got the top tier of patriarchy where men are on top and they pretend that things trickle down. Doesn't. They just hold all the power. They make all the rules. And then in a matriarchy, it's more of a circle, and all of the most vulnerable people are in the middle, and you have a circle surrounding, and the government is going to not look like one gender. It's just going to be a representation of what everybody looks like, male, female, whatever gender you are, whatever color, wherever you're from, it doesn't matter. It's all about a more fair, equal, place to live. So I'm just wondering, what is your experience out there and seeing people talking about this stuff? And are you seeing more of it?
So it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking to my mom about how I feel like I'm getting radicalized by by this, like,
yes,
these videos on social media. Because I mean, I really try to unplug after work, and my scrolling is generally related to, like, cute furry animals.
Yeah, I mean, so many of us love that.
And lots of Golden Girls clips. So, I mean, it really is a lot of just, like, please pull me out of this news funk so that I can be in a better place emotionally. And but I started following, because my little cousin is in nursing school, I've started following a bunch of different nurses who do videos who talk about their experience and what kind of nursing they do, and just ways that they take care of patients. And then I, like, forward them to her, on Instagram. And so one of the nurses that I follow started talking about just feminism in general and the division of labor in a marriage, and how a lot of times women leave relationships because life becomes easier as a single mom than a single mom who also has to take care of a husband who doesn't do anything other than work. And, she's working and she's also got her second job as a wife and mother. And so she had done a couple of those videos that I forwarded to my mom, and because we have conversations about, women's rights and feminism a lot, which is very strange for me because my mother is still a Republican, and yet she is probably one of the biggest feminists in my life. And I'm just like, girl. So I, like, forwarding, I think anytime you share something, I think the algorithm is like, oh, you really like this then.
Right. Yes.
So then I started getting more videos about division of labor and marriages. And then I started getting more conversations about feminism. And then it turned into the matriarchy. And so it just sort of progressed into my roommate being like, are you doing your boyfriend okay? Because you're really down on the dudes lately. And I mean, the manosphere, like, the thing is the manosphere really gives men such a crap name. Like, they are the loud people when you have the silent majority of men who are good dudes and who see feminism as nothing more than equality. Nothing more than just a fair division.
Yeah.
And so those voices are getting drowned out by these really loud people who, I think the algorithm in general promotes, because the absurdity and the extremism breeds more conversation. So, like, if you comment on something, I was saying, if you share something, if you comment on it as well, that is going to feed you more videos like that.
Any engagement, yes.
So, like, one of the, my ex had commented on something on my Facebook fan page, because that's usually where I put all my stories. A friend of my dad's is like a right wing nutter, and he comments constantly. And my ex was like, "Dude, what did you do to earn all of these right wingers coming on your page and commenting?" And I said, "Well, I let them do it because it's perpetuating the algorithm, so they're forced to see more of my stuff, and then their friends start seeing more of their stuff." And so in a way, I'm kind of like, all right, welcome.
Right. That's interesting. And it's so true.
All of my stories on you.
Yeah. It's so.
And so like the hate click is a real thing.
Yes, it
People
is.
You will hate click something and then you will get more information and more information.
Yeah. 100%.
And so, I mean, I think that ends up feeding the extremism, particularly of the manosphere. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I see a couple of male feminists who do videos who talk about, like, especially ones that are raising sons. I've started getting those videos now too, who say that it's very easy for young men, like little kids, to understand consent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some guy was in Target with his son, and his son ran over to a girl and said, "I really love your coat. Can I give you a hug?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Okay, I still really love your coat. Bye."
Aww.
And it's like, if my 4-year-old can understand consent,
right.
Why can't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all very simple issues that a child can understand. But I think these manosphere dudes have been handed an excuse for all that ills them, that is convenient. You know, instead of being introspective, instead of thinking, gee, maybe I should clean my house. maybe I should try and find a woman that and have a fair division of labor in the household. You know, maybe I should consider consent before I'm in a relationship. So like those are issues that where it's like, maybe if you kind of just looked at things differently, you wouldn't be single, you wouldn't be an incel. But at the same time, like I think about some of my girlfriends and I'm like, God, I've known girls who like dated abusers and dated a complete mess and dudes who didn't shower, and like the guy I'm with right now, bless him, he doesn't brush his teeth enough because he's still sort of protesting his father, who's a dentist. It's like a whole psychological thing. So I'm like, there are all of these women in the world who experience, who are with some of the worst men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if they can be with these guys, then you're not really involuntarily celibate. Like, this is, you're voluntary. Mm-hmm. You're choosing this. And maybe you should just get your shit together.
Right? No kidding. Maybe. Well, you know, I just need to bring up Louis Theroux. I don't know where it is. I can't remember. It might be on HBO or Netflix. I don't know. But he did a special. He's a documentarian. He just did something called The Manosphere. And he went in, right? He goes into the manosphere and he talks to these people. And it's, you know, I mean, I have to tell everyone, if you're going to watch it, prepare yourself, because you're going to get sick. You're going to get sickened. You're going to be disgusted. And it's very upsetting, because aside from the fact that these guys, I mean, these aren't even incels. Some of these guys have a girlfriend, and then they go around fucking a lot of other women, and then they brag that their girlfriend is okay with it, and that she packs the condoms when, you know, she packs for him and packs condoms for him so he can go have sex with other people. And then they interview the women. And there was one woman who I can't remember which one. I can't remember the reason why, but I think she was no longer with him by the end of this documentary. But still, there was another woman who was like, you know, look, I was with this guy before, and all he ever did was lie and cheat on me. So this is better because he's cheating on me, but at least he's being honest. And that was like her whole thing. And then Louis's like, well, God, eventually, honey. Yeah. Louis says to her, eventually something like he's going to want to get married, and then he's going to want to have no, you know, more than one wife. Are you okay with that? And basically she said, you know, well, we'll just deal with that when we get there. But ultimately she felt like she would be okay with that. So there's always going to be those women who are so, you know, whether it's they feel like I got mine, because they're living in some wealth, you know, they're living in some really nice condo or whatever they're living in because he's got some money. It's so gross, but it's really worth seeing to kind of understand what I was hoping for. I mean, here's the scary part. And then I want to ask you about the matriarchy part, but the scary part was when Louis would be, you know, out on the street with some of these guys. And I think he interviewed like three or four big Manosphere guys. And I mean, they were so bad. They were kicked off YouTube. I think they got let back on, but they are out in the street. And then all of a sudden, 13 to 15 year old, which is their main audience, which is the scary part, boys come running up to them like it's Jesus. And they are so enamored of these guys. And these guys tell them, look, you don't have to work hard. All you have to do is be smart. And so in a way, I think, you know, they're taking a truth that you don't necessarily have to do what everyone tells you you have to do in order to have a happy, successful life. I fully buy into that, right? But they've weaponized it. And they turn it and they turn it into something else in the manosphere. And you know, I think some of these companies that they claim they work with, work for, whatever, Louis was looking them up, and they're not really very, whether they're either not legal or they're not doing very well, whatever. It's kind of like they do have money, but it's this whole facade of this kind of lifestyle that they're selling to this generation of young boys. And the boys are eating it up because what they're hearing is, you're just going to be laying around, you know, you're not going to have to work very hard. You're going to be really, really, really wealthy. You're going to have all these women wanting to have sex with you, and you get to choose whatever you want. And of course, all the boys are like, yes, we 100%. And so I looked at this, and while it's upsetting, and I know these boys are getting indoctrinated into this idea that, hey, I'm just going to rule the fucking world. I think at the same time, we are experiencing this rise of a matriarchy, right? We're seeing more talk of it. We're seeing more, we're seeing people like John Ossoff. We're seeing AOC. We're seeing candidates who are willing to introduce legislation that looks matriarchal. Mm-hmm. And they're talking in that way. And so what I think, and this, I guess this is me being hopeful. It's not me being a Pollyanna, but I just want to see, I don't think it's going to stick. I think it's going to stick around for a while because you're always going to have, fringe groups. I don't know that these groups right now are fringe. I think they've gone beyond fringe. But I think that it's going to get pushed back down into the fringe because if we are able to overcome fascism, if we are, and I think we will, if we are able to, you know, build back a country that is a stronger kind of, we're not going to go all the way matriarchy, but I think we strive for it. We can get there. I think the manosphere is going to start to fall apart, and it may take a long time. But I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I completely agree. And I just viewing it from a scientific perspective, right? Mm-hmm, like or Darwinism, the survival of the fittest, right? if you're an incel, you're not breeding.
Yeah.
You're not raising children.
Yes.
So you're not perpetuating what you believe and establishing it into a family that then establishes it into another family that passes it on and on and on. The people who are perpetuating the idea of a fair division of labor, a man that is, you know, has a full range of emotions and, you know, sees his wife as equal. I mean, those are the people who are breeding and who are raising boys, and they're not raising them to be incels.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's just no, scientifically, there's no way to make that work.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's always going to be, you know, I mean, I was an actress in Hollywood, and I, in the 90s, You know, and I dealt with all the patriarchal shit, and I allowed the patriarchy to tell me. And I mean, I still do, right? I still feel insecure about my body. I feel insecure about the way I look. I'm going to be 58 this year, and that's
for, oh my God, you are so pretty, though.
Well, thank you. The picture that you're looking at on my Zoom is from several years ago, but still, thank you. But it's not. It's just the idea that, like, you're losing your youth. And in this country, youth is king. And, you know, like in other countries, I was talking to my mom the other morning, and I know we have to go soon, so I'll be really quick. But like Denise Richards just got a really good facelift, right? And so we're about the same age. And I looked at her, and then I immediately compare myself. And I'm like, her face looks better than mine. And then I feel bad about myself. And that's what I'm not here to bag on Denise Richards, right? You get to do whatever you want. But it's just the idea of patriarchy tells women they're not good enough. And so I think, though, what's going to happen is I think we're going to get more matriarchal. And I think women are going to start realizing they are good enough. It's going to take some time. But I think we're going to – I'm hoping that we go in that direction. And then these women are just going to look at these young guys who are idolizing these bullshit fucking characters on YouTube – and say, you know, fuck you. You know?
Yeah.
And then they'll have to change. They'll be forced to change their tunes. That's what I'm hoping. I don't know. Call me a Pollyanna. I'm really not one, but
I'm hoping too. And I think too, like one of the things that I really, really hope is we as women have just got to make sure we continue to lift other women up.
Yes.
Like if dudes are not going to be, you know, if we're expecting dudes to just do the bare minimum of this,
right,
like just give us equality.
No, they can't do that.
Right. At the very least, you know, we have to stop this sort of infighting among each other and make sure that it is all about lifting each other up and promoting each other and, you know, helping each other when we can.
Very true. And speaking of promoting each other, I know you got to go. You got important places to be. So tell everybody where to find you. I can't even talk. Tell everybody where to find you.
So I am on Blue Sky at Sarah Burris. Actually, all of my social media is pretty much Sarah Burris. If you just Google my name, you'll find everything.
Sarah with an H.
Yes, Sarah with an H.
All right. Well, cool. I love talking to you. You have such a great perspective. It's fun to talk to you. So obviously you'll be back. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.